Is that better?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, don't look at yourself. I know it's tempting.
But
stop being infatuated by yourself.
It's just hard because I automatically look at the face.
Okay, we'll leave this in then. So, movie hit aside, where are we?
NDC.
NDC. All right, so Scott and I came here. In fact, we did record here, didn't we? We recorded here on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we recorded in Oslo, at least, on Saturday. Came here, and then what did we do on Sunday? Like, we just rode bikes around and did wheelies and skids.
Yes.
Mature stuff.
Yeah, totally.
So Oslo's got these this hire bike system where they've got all these racks of bikes. They've got a little app, and then you turn up, and you go, I want a bike, and they give you a bike, and it's, what, like $4 or $5 a day or something like that. Something cheap.
Not much.
And you can have all these sessions of like 45 minutes on the bike before you got to return it, which is enough to sort of get to somewhere, drink beer,
and then, and then go to the next place with beer.
And then find another bike and go to the next place with beer. So we just did that on the weekend. Then obviously workshops. So
Monday, Tuesday.
What do you do in your workshop? Because I think people know what I normally do.
So mine's the best TLS training in the world. We do a two-day workshop.
That's subtle, isn't it?
Okay. No one's challenged it yet, so I'll take that.
Right.
So day one is everyone gets assigned their own virtual server, and it's HTTP, you get your own website, and we go through the whole process of setting up HTTPS, which includes going to Let's Encrypt and getting a real cert. So it's actual, like, full real stuff on day one, and then day two we build a certificate authority and do server certificates. We also do client certs, which is kind of cool, so we do client-based authentication.
I hope
as
you do
well.
EV certificates.
Yes, of course, we do... Do you know, you can't make your own EV cert, really, like, unless you rebuild a browser. So
We'll get back to that.
And yeah, that was day two, so that was Monday, Tuesday this week.
And we've... The thing about these events, and I'm conscious... I don't think you and I have ever spoken about it here, but, like, we share lots of stuff on social about all the good bits, right? Like, sitting outside drinking beer and everything. And, it has been a lot of fun, and it's been massively social as well. But you and I have both just been getting to the point... where it's like, man, we're just getting so freaking tired after last week as well.
Because, basically this week was like a rinse repeat of last week, right?
It was. And
crazy
it's,
stuff.
I'm aware that people are listening to us going, oh, we've sort of been travelling around the world to all these cool events, and I'm tired. Boo-hoo, poor Troy and Scott. you really got to be careful because you can get really run down. I started drinking water from about 10 o'clock last night, and I was in bed by 12. You not so much?
No. I was. I did not stay out late last night.
You stayed out very early, I think, last night.
Very early this morning.
I couldn't find you this morning, and I was looking for photos on Twitter because I was like, maybe you have documented your descent into
the madness.
Whatever gutter it was or whatever you ended up in.
But, no, we were very respectable. It was just... You know, it's kind of like saying, I've had a super long week. I've done loads of workshops, talks and things. I was like, you know what, I'm going to go out. We didn't get, like, you know, too crazy drunk, but it's like, I just need a night of, you know, chilling out.
Okay. So anyway, on to NDC as a conference. Maybe after this, after we record this, I'll pick the camera up and show you around because this thing is actually pretty awesome. It's just an amazing spot where we're right bang in the middle of a stadium here. And the whole place is just full of...
Keynote stage, right?
Yeah, so this was the keynote stage where Mads Torgensen did his keynote a couple of days ago. So, I mean, let's sort of go through that process. Wednesday, Mads did his talk, which was his keynote, which was great. After that, I did my I'm Pwned, You're Pwned, We're All Pwned talk, which I've done a couple of times before now. I'll link through to that because I've got recorded versions. That went really, really well. I was very happy with the results on that. A lot of engagement. Very often we find, I think Scandinavian countries in general tend to be a little bit quieter, a little bit sort of less, I don't know, less boisterous.
Yeah.
So it can be a little bit hard as a speaker to kind of get engagement and interaction from people. But this was a really good audience the other day. And then you did your talk. So tell us a little bit about your talk because it's related to stuff we're both doing.
Yeah, so my talk was essentially how we scaled Report Your Eye from doing 10,000 reports in its first month to 10,000 reports a second, which is where we kind of peak out at on like our really busy peaks during the week. We can be topping out at like 10,000 reports a second. And out of necessity, we've gone through like many variations of our infrastructure to be able to scale that and make it more efficient. And I kind of hinted in the talk, you know, it's like it's built on the cloud and you can just dial the cloud up to 11, but that would have also dialed the cost up to 11. So instead we've had to find ways of becoming significantly more efficient to keep driving our volume up and driving our cost down. And the interesting thing now is our current infrastructure is like, the cost has remained steady. So we've managed to like significantly like ramp up our ability to ingest more reports, but also not take too much of a hit.
And just to put it in context as to why we're getting so many reports, when someone adds a content security policy to their site, if there's a violation, it's going to send a report. Like the browser's going to send a report back to whatever reporting endpoint you define.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to do that once for every single violation.
Yep.
So if you really properly screw up your CSP, you can have maybe 20, 50, 100 reports come from one page load. Not necessarily obvious in the browser because they're all low priorities. They all happen after everything else is loaded. It's not obvious. At least it's not obvious other than to the point you're trying to report stuff to, and you're suddenly getting a huge volume of them. And then we've got this situation where it's going to do that for every single browser or every single, I guess, page
visitor,
load.
Yeah.
Now what happens if you have lots of visitors? So you actually spoke during the talk the other day about an incident where we did effectively get, it really was DDoSed.
Yeah, well, it was an accidental DDoS. There was, you know, but I think that's still classed as a DDoS.
And what were the numbers though? Because you had numbers about the number of gigabits or number of requests.
Like yeah, we were capping out at just over 200,000 requests a second, and that was like 2.7, 2.8 gigabits of inbound JSON, which is a lot,
which,
and we couldn't handle that.
Ever since then, I have harbored this little evil thought about making a CSP DDoS cannon.
Oh yeah, you could easily do that.
There would be an easy way of doing it because you can point at whatever URL you like. So, you know, that was really interesting, and that did knock report URI offline. It was a couple of years ago now, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Scott talked about a lot of the infrastructure changes that have been made since then to ensure that if that ever happens, we can, like, just black hole the DNS for the particular account holder and make sure the service keep running. But, of course, even better than that, it runs through Cloudflare now, so we're servicing up to something like 10 billion reports a month at the moment. And because Cloudflare sits in front of them, we're taking a huge percentage of those reports. I think it's like 90% or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
About 90% of them. And we can filter them out so they don't actually hit the origin. And we do that by saying everyone gets a free tier. You can log 10,000 reports a month. And then people can start paying to log more and more and more and more. And when they hit that threshold, we just go, hey, Cloudflare, stop this traffic from hitting our origin. Which is super cool because we could be doing 100 billion reports a month and it have zero impact on our infrastructure if they don't actually come through to the origin. So that talk was recorded. That's going to be live. It's normally
soon-ish.
A few weeks,
yeah.
Something like that. So I'll make sure we share that when that comes out. You and I today spent a bunch of time talking about Report URI. And I think I mentioned here before that technically the service is awesome, but we're technical and we don't like spend a lot of time pitching it or promoting it. And particularly after the award from the event last week as well, we want to make sure that we do actually kind of capitalize on that. So we're going to be adding a bunch of stuff. We did some really cool planning today, adding a bunch of stuff to try and make it easier for people to start using CSP. So changing like the sign-up flow, changing how we communicate with people after they sign up.
Yeah,
just doing a bunch of stuff which I think will be really useful. But we would love you to use Report URI and give it a go. So we did those things. What else have we done? You did a blog post. Yeah, talk about your... I'm going to open it up. I'm going to pull some of the highlights. But you can give the overview.
So the post... The title caused some controversy, and that was not the point of the title.
let's do the controversy. Why was it controversial, Scott?
So the post is called, basically, HTTPS anti-vaxxers and dispelling common myths of why these people don't want to secure the web. Now,
did you upset anti-vaxxers?
Well, yeah, apparently. And it was like, so apparently there's like a whole different bunches of meanings to the word, and it's also religious. That was one of the other complaints.
I thought that when I saw that comment, though, because I thought when someone said religious, they didn't mean that they had some sort of moral obligation, like, you know, this is anti-religion or something. I think it was more like this is one of those quote-unquote religious debates where people have very strong opinions.
Oh, they missed the quotes. Maybe that's why I didn't get
it.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was like, look, I'm... Yeah,
this
whatever
is a religious
religion,
thing.
We don't like this.
yeah, so
I think it was something else.
To me, it's like the anti-vaxxer phrase was somebody that doesn't want something that is good for them and everyone else. And that was like
Climate change deniers, flat earthers. Just keep adding to the list of people we're insulting in one go here. But it's basically people who have viewpoints that fly against the scientific research.
Yeah.
Anyway,
absolutely.
So what was it about, though?
So there was kind of like four particular ones that I picked up on, And like, people can go read the post. It wasn't meant to be, and it wasn't actually kind of, you know, I wasn't like tearing them down or being insulting. I was just like, look, this really like prominent person, they've got huge social followings or some kind of authority within the wider industry, and they're saying like HTTPS is bad, you shouldn't do it because of this. And I just thought I would take those arguments and explain the counterpoint on why they're not quite right.
So you, when you say four things, you took four people. Mm. And incidentally, this is what we did in a talk a few weeks ago, and then we'll talk about the talk we're going to do to Savo shortly. But since you've written about this all publicly, I guess we can kind of talk about who they are and what the arguments are. So the people like Dave Weiner, who was a very prominent guy, co-author of RSS Spec, creator of podcasting, certainly has runs on the board. He seems to be convinced that Google is trying to kill HTTP, and he's. I'll give you a couple of statements here from Scott's blog post, and then you can dispel them. So he says, "I've been writing about Google's efforts to deprecate HTTP, the protocol of the web. So, is Google deprecating HTTP?
No, and this is. I mean, this is kind of one of the things that it bugged me in multiple ways. Number one, like I explained in the post, Dave's kind of viewpoint was very much like anti-Google, rather than anti-HTTPS, and Google are, right, you know, he's correct in what he's saying, Google are currently using their influence to incentivize people towards HTTPS.
And to be clear, that they're doing that by changing visual indicators in the browser.
Well, so I think that's like, so there's two distinct things here for me. Like, incentivization is, you know, like they boosted SEO, and like there's certain like positive factors. I actually think that the deprecation of the UI is a separate thread, and I appreciate that's going to the same end goal, but I don't think they're deprecating the UI to incentivize HTTPS. I think they're changing the UI just because it needs to be changed, right? Like, HTTPS positive UI is there so often now, it's almost eroded any value that it has because most people see it most of the time, and it's...
But that's sort of a key difference, because that's the difference between saying, I've heard some people put it as Google shaming a website, in order to try and to get them to change and upgrade to HTTPS. But what you're saying is maybe what they're doing is just simply reflecting the reality of today, which is that there's so much positive, there's so much encryption these days that they're just starting to call it out when it's not there.
Yeah, and I know quite a few of the people there. I speak to people on the Chrome team, you know, somewhat frequently, and I certainly don't pick any of that up. It is literally just a case of, like, if you think about the common browsing scenario now, you're just getting, like, secure on every tab all the time, and it really has eroded any value that the indicator had.
I think your point about speaking to people on the Chrome team is really important, and one thing that I feel gets lost when people, when they read tweets, certainly I've seen it when people have read tweets that I've written about what's changing in the browser. Someone will see this one tweet and they'll pick something like, say, Google's going to remove the HTTPS scheme from the address bar. So you won't see HTTPS www.troyhunt.com anymore. You'll just see www.troyhunt.com anymore. And then over time, the padlock will disappear and the secure text will disappear. And people will say, oh, this will make it really confusing. And it's like they see this one tweet and they go, in my mind, this makes it very confusing. But they don't. They don't seem to realize that there's just like masses and masses of research that go into this from Google Chrome, masses of user groups, masses of A/B testing about what it looks like, or rather how people behave when it's there versus when it's not there.
And that's the thing, they're the largest browser vendor in the world. They're not just kind of sitting there and saying, hey, what should we do today, Joy? Let's change the UI, right? Like, imagine what they must spend on all of these things, all of this research, all of the, you know, they are the most dominant browser. They want to remain the most dominant browser. And to do that, they have to make sure that the experience is good for the user. So I bet they will invest a lot of money and time into that.
In fairness as well, Mozilla's obviously made changes to Firefox. In fact, back, I think it was early, would have been, was it early last year, they started making positive, or rather negative visual indicators when there are things like credit card forms and passwords. Yeah. And both Chrome and Firefox implemented that almost at the same time. It was like January last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So obviously it's happening in Firefox. We're also seeing changes coming in Safari on iOS 12. So, for example, we saw that indicator.
Oh, the not secure bit.
Yeah. So, and actually, I did check and confirm. So what's going to happen with iOS 12 and Safari, and also Safari on Mojave, is that if you're on a credit card page or a login page, so basically what Google and Mozilla did early last year, it's going to be red and say not secure in the address bar.
That's a much more aggressive warning, because Google and like with Chrome and Mozilla with Firefox, like Google put like the gray not secure, so it was kind of there, but it wasn't in your face. And the same with Mozilla, they had a drop down on the field, which was a bit more direct.
Yeah, I thought that was actually much more in your face.
But the Apple one is like red warning message, like it's super, super apparent. So it's a much more aggressive stance.
I guess the point is, it's not just a Google thing, right? Like this is lots of different browser vendors making these changes. Now, how can we put this subtly? Part of the reason Dave came across the radar is going back to February. It's a little bit hard to read the thread now for reasons that will become clear in a moment. But I don't know quite how I ended up in this discussion with Dave, but I think he was saying, look, I don't need HTTPS on my blog, cause it's just a static blog. Of course, we've had this discussion many times. Incidentally, I saw you retweet someone the other day who was getting ads or something injected into HTTP pages.
Yep.
What happened with that?
So it's just their ISP. Obviously, a very shady thing to do, but purely technically possible. So this person was just like browsing news websites, whatever they may be on HTTP, and their ISP was trying to like insert ads into the pages as they come down through the network. So
yeah, it's super shady.
You're browsing like the BBC News site, which doesn't have ads, and then all of a sudden, Google Ads or whatever.
The only thing is, BBC News is now HTTPS, isn't it?
Well, yeah, so it seems to depend where you are, because I did this in my workshop at my webinar. Like, I use them as an example, and I'm like, oh, so let's go to a website that has HTTP. No, it's HTTPS now.
But for example, you could be browsing Dave Weiner's page.
Yes.
And having ads injected. So this was sort of the discussion, and I think from memory that the workflow here, the tweet thread, went me saying, he's sort of saying, you know, why do I need on my site? So look, here's a good resource. Does my site need HTTPS.com? Which is fantastic. I'll link to that again too. Now here's, I'm going to let you read this because it's funny when other people say it. After I gave him that link, what did he say to me?
You have no idea who I am, do you?
Now, granted, this is not the best of technical arguments I've heard before.
I've never come across that technical argument before.
So basically, the way you explain in your blog post, you said, thing is, Dave likes to pull rank on you even if you ask him about these things, even if you have a much stronger following than him, which was very kind of you. So, like, his response, and I think, to be honest, what upset a lot of people, including myself, is that you can't sort of come back and say, I am right because I did important things, when you're trying to have a practical, evidence-based discussion about technology.
This doesn't work like that, does it?
Now, he then followed it up and sort of doubled down by saying...
Who are you?
This is in a tweet where you can click on my profile and it says exactly who I am. And,
you know, have bios on Twitter.
They have bios now. So here you go. All right, so that was Dave. Oh, yes, incidentally, the reason I can't read the threads anymore is because he's deleted the tweets.
Which kind of, you know, is indicative of that they may have not been the most appropriate
thing to say. They may have not been the most appropriate thing to say. Although he does tend to delete threads where people start disagreeing as well. We've seen this over and over and over again.
Comments on his blog as well. And it, you know, it's like genuinely like trying to raise valid technical points and then having them deleted. And it's like, well...
Yeah, no, that's not cool.
You know, come on. We've got to have an open discussion here.
I made a tweet, I think, just yesterday in response, because he sort of had a rebuttal to you, which was a very strange rebuttal, actually. UK blogger makes claims. No, though. We won't do that. Won't do that again. But I sort of made this tweet and said, look, I get to the point with some of these people where there's no point arguing about whether it's coming or whether, like, none of this is going to, it doesn't change anything. What ultimately matters is that this is coming, we're going to have HTTPS everywhere on everything. You either get on board or you get left behind. Like, it's that simple. And if Dave doesn't want to go HTTPS, well, his blog's going to get increasingly red warnings on there, and he can bitch and whinge all he likes about Google. It's not going to change anything.
And I think that's kind of the point, you know. And the one thing that I really loved, actually, which you can't really argue against, is I went onto like HTTP Archive, and one of the metrics that they track back for like the last 8 or so years or something, I'm sure it goes even further, was like pages on websites on HTTPS, and that graph has been trending up for all of time, right? Like literally, no matter how far back you go, more and more websites as time goes by have been moving to HTTPS.
Yeah.
Long before Google had said anything about this, long before there was incentives. And I was like, so this predates, like this upwards trend predates everything we're talking about.
Because it's just
anyway,
the right thing to do.
It's just naturally we are moving to that place. So
now, let's not focus solely on Dave, because he was one of four people and we don't want to spend four times as long. But Maria Johnson, the
Can you read that? Because I still struggle reading that sentence sometimes.
So this is actually her description.
Okay. Verbatim quote.
Brace yourself. Maria Johnson is a hyper-polyglot entrepreneur. I got hyper-polyglot right, I couldn't say entrepreneur. Entrepreneur, best-selling author, film producer, influencer speaker, programmer, and multilingual digital marketing expert. Now, she doesn't mention in that bio the bit about being reincarnated 18 times.
No.
This is, I've got to remember all these links now. I will link back to the blog post I wrote, it must have been last year sometime, where I said, look, don't take SEO advice from, don't take security advice from SEO experts or psychics. And she's a very unique character. In fact, I can pretty much say what I want about her because she's blocked me, so she won't be able to see it anymore. Blocked you too, didn't she?
Yeah.
Okay, we're both blocked. There's
and
a trend here.
I don't know
here.
What I did to get blocked, though. That, like, in that one scenario, I can genuinely say I don't actually know what I did.
Maybe your association to me. Yeah. I don't know.
Blocked by extension.
I only just realised this. There is a trend of people who really don't like being told that HTTPS is a good thing and it's coming, just blocking anyone who's saying that. Anyway, she came out with some really, really strange claims. And to be clear as well, she's in... Like, there's lots of people making strange claims on the web. But she has over 200,000 followers. Although, incidentally, I think in our previous experiences, we believe that there are a very, very large number of sock puckets. Sock puckets. Jeez. It's been such a long week.
Who stayed out late last night?
I went to bed early too. Sock puppet accounts. Now, there's just a load of stuff in here about saying HTTPS is slow, which is clearly not true. She's saying it's expensive. We've got Let's Encrypt and Cloudflare. What else did she say here? What were the biggies?
Come on. It's further down. Best quote right there.
Oh. Okay.
This is a good one.
This is her replying to you. Now, did you have to... You've screen kept
this,
did you?
Yeah, because that's gone.
Oh, it's gone. I wonder why it's gone.
Trend.
It might be gone because she says, Scott Helm, so she's teaching you about
atting
this.
Me, yeah.
Server technology has become so advanced that a firewall does the security trick. Can you replace HTTPS with a firewall?
Apparently. Apparently okay. So.
Maybe not so much. I've then got another section here in your post from a guy called Neil Patel. Now, here's the guy I originally wrote the HTTPS psychics and SEO thing about last year, because he's an SEO guy. And look, I mean, a lot of people have opinions about SEO people, and there are probably good ones and bad ones, just like in any industry, but there does seem to be a bit of a trend of SEO people of this nature and their understanding of technology. The thing about Neil Patel is that he's got almost 1 million followers on Twitter. Facebook.
Yeah.
And in the... I'm trying to put this carefully because I don't want to upset people who genuinely do good jobs of SEO. But in this SEO world, I think that there are some rather inflated numbers of followers through non-organic means. So who knows? Anyway, nearly 1 million followers. So he had a bunch of comments in here as well around the fact that you don't really need HTTPS if your blog is not... or if your site is not taking credit cards and things like this. I obviously disagreed with that. In fact, the whole reason this blew up with Neil Patel is I left him a bunch of comments and I said, very, very politely, in fact, I've screen capped it, it's in the original blog post. I said, look, here are all the reasons why that doesn't really make sense. There's lots of good resources. on the trend side of things, he deleted it. He deleted my comment. He deleted the comments from other people as well saying similar things. So we just, there's three people now who just continually delete things when they just... don't like it. Like,
and the two SEO ones are super weird because Google have publicly announced the SEO boost for HTTPS. So you think that would be an SEO person's kind of bread and butter, right?
I think they've kind of argued a little bit that the boost is not that big and maybe it doesn't make a lot of difference. But yeah, there's certainly a bit of a trend there. So the other one, the final one, now this one's really interesting because there's video here. A guy called Brian Lunduk. Now, Brian Lunduk did this YouTube video, in fact, two YouTube videos. He does the Lunduk Show. He seems to be a Linux guy. I think he had many tens of thousands of followers on his...
it's like 50K on the 50,000 subscription.
Oh, here we go. 47,000 YouTube followers. He's got two videos here. One is called HTTPS is Dangerous, and the other one is Why I Don't Use HTTPS on My Website. Now, you've embedded these videos here, and they include reasons like... One of the problems with HTTPS is that certificates expire.
Yeah.
So why is this a problem?
Well, it's a built-in failure. So you set up HTTPS on your website, and then if you don't maintain your website, it will cease to function when the certificate expires.
Which is actually a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, in fact, I linked into my blog post where I say that we need certificates to expire faster, not longer. So
he was sort of... I see where he's coming from insofar as there is now a process which needs to be maintained, but of course we have automated renewal with the things like Let's Encrypt or with Cloudflare as well. Fake certificates are a problem. It's easy to fake a certificate.
I wish it was. I would be so rich, dude, if I could fake certificates that would work. I would literally be rich. When we do this video on my yacht, I've figured out how to fake certificates.
Okay. Yeah, when you see us on the yacht. Okay, Shah, he thinks NSA is backdoor Shah.
No, I mean, you know, in full transparency, the NSA have input on the standardization processes as part of, like, recommendations that come from NIST, certainly with SHA-3. Mm. But it's like the weird thing with the hash function is, like, there's only two real things that we care about, right? Hash functions are supposed to be one way. So can they, like, dehash something and go back to the original? Well, even if that was plausible, it wouldn't matter because with certificates, which is where we use the hash functions for the signature, the document's public anyway.
I think they're more worried about hash collisions.
That's the only other logical thing. And that would mean that they could then generate, if they could generate a hash collision, they could basically sign a forged certificate and make it genuine.
Yeah.
So if they could do that, if they could generate hash collisions in that fashion right now, they could forge certificates. But very soon, CT will see an end to that risk. Because if they are trying to use certs that are... I mean, they're valid forged certificates. They would have to soon go into CT for them to continue to be
valid. So it'd go into certificate transparency logs. We would all be able to see that the certificates were created so that they wouldn't really be able to work around that. Not without somehow keeping it out of CT logs as well.
Yeah. So right now, I mean, even though CT logging is mandatory for all new certificates, they could forge a backdated one and omit that from CT as well. So we aren't, you know, we can't 100% resist that yet, but... we're well on the way to that not being a problem at all.
There's, I think I'll just leave this one here, and this one probably doesn't need comment from you. There's a comment here that says, in terms of random numbers, it's not so important that the numbers be random.
Verbatim anyway, quote.
Any hacker who's read enough Reddit pages can break HTTPS. Is this your problem? Have you not read enough Reddit?
Read more Reddit,
you'll be fine. And look, it goes on and on. There's another point here. He's worried about the compatibility of HTTPS with Netscape Navigator 3.
I mean...
So, for context, Scott and I need to do a talk in about 2 hours from now called Everything's Cyberbroken. And as part of this, we're doing this HTTPS naysayers thing, which is going to talk about these guys. It's not recorded. It's somewhat more direct than the discussion we're having now, and it's basically me just making Scott feel uncomfortable at this, so I give him things like that and just watch him squirm for my and everyone else's amusement.
Unwilling victim here.
DRM. What was the DRM argument?
Oh, I mean, I don't think I fully understand the point, because he's saying that HTTPS is DRM because once the certificate expires, the content is no longer available, therefore HTTPS is DRM? I mean, my interpretation may be wrong because it didn't make any sense. That's my best interpretation of what he said.
Okay, then.
Maybe someone can correct me on that.
That was a very, very odd one. But look, I mean, that was pretty much the list. And it's... like, you write the blog post. We've been doing this talk just to try and, like, bring a little bit of sanity into the discussion. And I don't know, for me, there's almost this overriding thing, which is regardless of whether you think it's good, bad, NSA backdoored, whatever, I just wish that people were able to have discussions that were open and honest and direct, didn't involve deriding other people to the point of deleting their tweets or their comments.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's like just... It just... We don't seem to be in a good place at that level of discussion, but per my previous point... in a way, it doesn't really matter anyway, because it's happening. These people will just be dragged along kicking and screaming, and we'll just see how much they scream along the way.
And it, you know, I guess that's where we are. And it's a shame, but it is.
So, just for a wrap up, you've got something. Do you want to show your thing? Since we kind
wrong
of discussed
kind of video.
This. Oh, dun, 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 dun. Long couple of weeks.
I have a retail package NOMEX.
The world's most secure communication protocol.
The world's
protocol, right?
Most secure
right there in
communications
a box.
Protocol. Here you go, dude. Look at this.
Wow.
Beast.
I've never actually held one of these in my hand.
Perfect. Really?
Yeah, really.
There you go.
Why is it so light?
Make sure it doesn't float away. It's like...
this is literally like super, super, super light because it's just got a Raspberry Pi inside, right?
Yep.
Wow, really? Because it's
power it up.
It's just like
manual.
A micro USB in the bottom, and that's all that's in there. That is super weird.
This is...
So this relates to the discussion last week about Nomex. You did the talk last week on Nomex.
Yeah.
That's linked to in last week's update. I can just hear sessions wrapping up, which means it's going to get crazy loud in here. So I think we might wrap up. Blog sponsor this week is NetSparker. You know NetSparker. So we've both had a bit to do with NetSparker in the past. Awesome dynamic analysis tools. I still use them in all my workshops to show people demos as well. We saw them actually at InfoSec last week. They had a stand at InfoSec. So big thanks to those guys. Do check them out. They're still a tool that I use a lot, which is awesome. And I guess we've got to go get ready for one more talk now, and then you got to go back to the UK. Next week I will still be here because I fly back to Australia bang on 1 week from now. So I'm going to try and record this update before I get on the plane. And I'll have one more European update. And I won't see you again until September.
Yeah.
Back in Australia.
Back in Oz.
Australia.
I need to top up.
Yeah, no worries about that. All right, guys. Thank you very much for watching. I'll see you in a week.
See you later.